Perlman is here to talk about her new lesbian novella, Where There Are Mountains, and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thanks, Sean. Really appreciate your having me on the show.
Tell us about Where There Are Mountains.
Well, first thing is that I can say the title came out of a phrase that I used in one of the chapters, that where there are mountains, people are not easily subdued. So that's where I got the titles, and I love mountains. I'm really fascinated by them. And the short answer, when people, you know, ask me about it, I say it's about prehistoric lesbians. But the long answer is that, well, it takes place during the early Neolithic, and that's about 7,000 years ago. And this is a time when hunter-gatherers were beginning to settle in villages and plant crops. I mean, the story is about the migration of northern tribes that were fleeing their homeland because of cold and famine. And they were traveling south along the mountain passes of Mount Olympus, and that's what is currently Greece. The tribes that were traveling down these mountain passes were mostly peaceful, but there were others. And these were warrior tribes that came not to just flee the cold and famine, but to conquer. And the big change is that they were bringing male gods, very different than the matrilineal, more women-centered tribes that worshipped a female divinity that lived along these mountain passes. And these tribes worshipped, like many matrilineal tribes, worshipped the fertility of the land, female fertility, everything that basically ensures survival, and also sexual pleasure, which I call desire without rules. And my surmise is that without rules, sexuality is pretty free. There's no categories like homosexuality or heterosexuality. People simply love and have sex with the people that they love and desire. So the story, in some ways, really about the beginning of patriarchal conquest, and also about women warriors, maybe the precursors of Amazons that lived among these matrilineal tribes. So it's a short book. It talks of, certainly describes violence. It was a violent time. But it also is a book about love, love of a mother for her daughter, and love between women of different tribes.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Well, I've traveled extensively many times in Greece and Turkey, and had certainly an interest in a goddess site. I thought a lot about how culture would be different if there was a worship of the female divine. I traveled by myself. I traveled with a group of women from a travel group in California, and I went to a lot of places of ancient goddess worship. So many statues, statues of Amazons, sacred caves. So a lot of the ideas from the book came out of the travel. And I think that this was because of my interest in worship of the divine, the female divine. I think the book was kind of born.
What do you hope to accomplish with this book?
Well, what I think is that women, lesbians, we have a history, but it's a history that's been suppressed and erased. And what I believe in is that it's important to know our history, because knowing our history brings a pride in identity, aware that there was a different time, that we've always existed. We didn't call ourselves lesbians, but we have always, always existed in history. And so this is the importance of the story.
How do you see our LGBTQ community surviving the Trump administration heading into the 2020 election?
Well, I'm, like a lot of people, worried. I'm hoping for a Democratic president and a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate so we can really stop what has been going on in terms of the curtailing of rights. I mean, otherwise, I think we will survive, but there's going to be a lot of loss of rights and protections for LGBT people, particularly trans, and there's going to be a lot of suffering. You know, my fear is that we're on the cusp of the end of democracy, although I really don't think we are a democracy. We're really a more of a rule, you know, from the rich. But I'm hoping that Sanders people will support Biden, who it looks likely that he's going to get the nomination, and we get Trump and the Republicans out.
With LGBTQ teens already four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
Well, I do like the phrase, it gets better. I think that a lot of it depends on your family. Also, family acceptance is basically means a lot compared to family rejection. I think that a lot of kids that live at home and are bullied, you have to hang in, read, get on the internet if there's gay groups in your city or gay groups on the internet. But I know that adolescence is a hard time, and gay adolescence can be a very hard time.
How can people get information about you and also your novella, Where There Are Mountains?
Well, I have a website, which is Sarah Perlman. You can order it through Amazon.com. That's the place where that is handling it. I'm doing a lot of readings locally. I've advertised a lesbian connection, and I will be reviewed by the Lesbian Review of Books, which actually is very exciting. So as much as possible, you know, I really want people to read this book. I think it's important.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, I'm thinking of a memoir with some hesitation. I have thought of calling it An Unexpected Life because I certainly didn't expect the life that I have. I'm teaching a course on the liberation movements of the last part of the 20th century. We're talking about feminism and lesbian feminism and then transgender activism. And in May, I'm very excited. I'm going to France to visit caves with paintings on their walls, paintings that are around 40,000 years old. So you see that I have a lot of interest in really old history.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
It's been interesting to listen to people's questions at the different readings. People want to know how I learned about what I wrote about. Neolithic era was an unrecorded time. They want to know how the story came about. And those have been, I think, the most important questions and the questions that I'm most interested in talking about. What I say is kind of a strange experience, but I think a lot of writers will say the same thing. It wasn't a story that came out of like linear thought. It was like a story that was told to me. And it changed along the years, and the characters changed. And it really became part of my thinking. I thought about this all the time. And a few times I sat down to write it and it didn't work, and then I sat down and it did work and I wrote it. When I answer the question about like how I know about the time, what I say is that it's kind of like a formed imagination, because a lot of it was imagination and also a lot of research as well as imagining what it must have been like during those years. People are very excited to read it, and usually when people read it, they tell me that they really love it, and that's wonderful to hear. Heard that it's now called a lesbian classic. It's very different from most books. It's mythic, it's poetic, and I'm very happy that I did this.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through difficult times?
I think it would be that nothing lasts forever, that life is cycles, both personally and historically. It's not so much a mantra, but I think what I do is I think a lot about nature, what oceans visually bring to a mind, what an ocean looks like, what mountains look like, and this has a very calming effect. I mean, we're temporary, and the Earth is permanent.